You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Trying the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, the soon-to-be banned TikTok, Will Parkinson NFL on YouTube, also Badlands, TOJ Talks, joined by founder of TOJ, founder of Badlands, host of the best subscribed Jets podcast. Everyone, we'll take that.
It sounds
Joe
good.
Caparoso on a Thursday afternoon. Joe, how we doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a busy week. A lot of tweets, a lot of discords, a lot of podcasts. Keeping them rolling.
I know you're on a heater right now. I'm in the Randy Moss Vikings jersey. Didn't mean to put on an 84 jersey, but obviously some of the Corey Davis news. I guess I theoretically maybe subliminally knew, but we're gonna talk a little offense on the TOJ pod here, and then we're gonna finish and do a second home and home on some of the defense stuff over on Badlands. So if you're not subscribed to Badlands, do so. And if you're not subscribed to TOJ Pod on Badlands, then also do so.
Goes both ways.
Yeah, there goes it both ways. But I want to start with the Morgan Moses signing yesterday. I didn't get to touch on it yet. I know you and Connor talked about it a little bit. Actually, you know what? Let's get this out of the way real quick. Rodgers did exactly what you kind of asked him to do yesterday. This is the only thing I'm talking about with Rodgers. He went on, addressed something he had publicly addressed in the past, and there was a private conversation that went on that was leaked because he's in the running for vice president, and you're whatever you want to think about it, you are covered differently than just a normal football player.
Yep.
He addressed it with a tweet and an Instagram post. That's all I think we were both asking for. Is there anything else we need to cover on that? I don't want to leave that out so people tell me I'm ignoring it, but.
No, I'm glad he addressed it. Like we talked about last night, I would love for him to say, I'm flattered by the interest in VP, but my sole focus is on playing football in 2024 and put that to bed. That probably lingers for a few more days, but it was more urgent that he got that tweet and Instagram post out about that, because that rightfully turns into a whole different kind of conversation. I do really hope he puts the VP stuff to bed, though, because it's just an unnecessary distraction at this point. No one wants to have to answer questions about it and have it hanging over the head for the next 2 weeks. And ideally, that lets everyone just talk about more exciting things like Morgan Moses and potentially signing Tyler Boyd and Corey Davis coming out of retirement.
Yeah,
the good stuff.
I think he won't address it until that happens the 26th when RFK speaks, announce it. It gives Rodgers a chance to say, I actually wasn't interested. He'll put out a post the day before and say, actually, I had no interest the whole time. I just want to support my friend X, Y, and Z. He'll talk about it on podcast and things. And he almost hosted Jeopardy and almost was the vice president of the United States. Instead, he can go try to win a Super Bowl with the Jets, and that's his sole focus. And it puts a little extra pressure on Woody to maybe cut an extra few checks if he doesn't know if Rodgers is fully in. Because the election might determine Woody's job in 2025.
Having the football team just tied up in every angle of the election.
Yeah. Now, they need to have one person from another party, so they have a three-headed monster. Anyways, Morgan Moses trades made official today, basically a pick swap. In the fourth round, the Jets give away one of their 506-rounders. It's equivalent to giving away a late fifth-round pick. $5.5 million cap hit. Never should have gone in 2020, at the end of 2020-21 into 2022. Obviously, Mekhi Becton was coming back at the time. Feels like that's probably why they let him walk, and they had George Fant. They couldn't guarantee. Fortunately, Fant was hurt, and so he didn't even really play that much in 2022. Kind of a mess there, right? Obviously, the way it unfolded, pretty heavy regret. He had a really good first 2 years in Baltimore. I would probably consider him like the 13th best right tackle in the NFL. Maybe he's as good as 10 on some weeks, and maybe some weeks he's maybe like 17, 18, whatever it may be. So let's just say he's a top 13 NFL, right tackle, making $5.5 million. pretty awesome deal. It's probably the one move of the offseason where I was like, oh, they actually got creative and traded for a guy who's going to be a valuable veteran at an important spot. You know, they've done a lot of these trades the other way, right? And we've been very complimentary of Douglas on the Darnold and the Adams and all those trades. It's one of the first ones where I was like, oh, okay, you got creative here. Is that kind of the same takeaway you had?
Yeah, it was a good move. I think it's been easily their best move to date so far this offseason. It fills a need. It does it in a cost-effective way. It's a good, reliable player, and it gives them a lot more flexibility for the rest of the offseason. It was a move they needed badly. You know, the Simpson signing is just kind of cleaning up the Lakin mess, and it's a – I don't want to call it a lateral move because I do think he'll be better than Lakin, but it's not like a radical improvement. Like, this will be that, and you know what you're getting with Morgan Moses. You know he's comfortable playing here. You saw some of the players, like, reacting to it and happy that he's back, so – I think far and away their best move of the offseason. Now they need like one or two like that. And I think we'll be in pretty good shape. I mean, they're getting there. That was the first one where like, okay, like you said, a little outside the box. It was very positive.
So Diana Rossini and Zach Rosenblatt reporting the Jets have made Alan Lazard available in trade talks.
Yes. Yeah. Now who's going to trade for him? Who's going to trade for him? And who's going to trade for Zach Wilson?
Yeah. So, great news as we hop on the pod here. Look, it's nothing against Lazard. The contract made a ton of sense. It was a good way of getting Rodgers. It hasn't worked out to you know so far. The contract's pretty manageable. If a team were to take him on, it would suck for this year. But going forward, there's pretty much no money after, if I'm not mistaken, after 2024. And if a team takes him on, they can restructure him if they want to. It just kind of seemed like he tuned out last year after about week or three or four, lost confidence. No Rodgers, whatever it may be. Pretty much after that Chiefs game, felt like a couple of those guys, a couple of those vets were like, yeah, I'm good. I don't know what they get for him. They're likely going to have to do what they're going to have to do with Zach, which is either eat all of the money and get a pick. They're either going to have to maybe it's Lazard and a seven for a six rounder in 2025. And you just basically eat half the money this year. You've signed Corey Davis with what he would have had the other half. I don't think they can have Lazard and Corey Davis. They don't. They're so redundant. And, like, it's kind of a waste to have Brownlee and Lazard and Davis. It's like, dude, like, how many 6'3 blocking tight ends that aren't super fast you're going to have? I mean, receivers you're going to have. If they are able to trade Lazard, it kind of shadows into Corey Davis a little bit. I'd love to see Corey back. I'd love to see Corey back, though, as a wide receiver three, kind of that more strictly outside guy that can be, especially on early downs where they can maybe run a little bigger personnel, run the ball downhill and that power run stuff. Connor was talking about a little bit on yesterday's show. If Corey Davis is your number two a year out of football, entering an age 28, 29 season where he struggled with injuries and drops with the Jets, then I'm not so, you know, excited about it. I know he's well respected, well loved in the locker room. That's all fair. I hope they bring him back. That said, again, it needs to be like 1 year, $3 million with upside to get to eight. It's not 1 year, $15 million. Here, you were a good soldier, Corey. We're going to, like, I don't want to be harsh, but it is a business. And that's just the reality. Like, they can't afford to be paying Corey Davis as their wide receiver too. Am I being a dick here? Like, I don't, like, he's a good player, but he's not even what when they signed him.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, we don't have to go too crazy about Davis. You could get him back on, like, you know, low money, and it's simple 1 year deal, and you're tempering the expectations for his role. He's better than Lazard. Like, you'd want Lazard in that spot. Like, that's like a sour milk trade. And if they could just get rid of him, like, you just cut bait and go buy over. It was a mistake. Maybe has more success somewhere else. Davis slots right back into that role where he can be a complimentary piece. You know, he's not a full time starter. You still need a legit guy opposite Garrett, but, you know, if you have Corey on better money than you had Lazard, he's not a perfect player. He's going to struggle with drops and mental mistakes here or there, but he'll be physically tougher and better on contested catches than Lazard was. That's an upgrade. And they're still also doing their diligence, it sounds like, around Boyd and around Odell and around Mike Williams. I would like Mike Williams and Corey Davis, or Mike Williams and Boyd, or Mike Williams and Odell. Like, keep going and keep building the depth and push these guys to the right spots on the depth chart to round it out. You know, in a vacuum, no problem with Davis coming back. Just don't bring him back as wide receiver two. And let's see what the money looks like. If they can move off of Lazard, and again, it's like, I don't like giving too much credit for cleaning up your own mess, but there's some credit given to being like, you know what, like, Lakin, you're gone. Lazard, you're gone, and keeping it moving.
Yeah. Just looking at some of their reactions, everyone's like, oh, what can you get for Lazard? It's like, dude, if anyone even takes that contract on, the Jets would save $10 million post June 1. I believe they save about $3 to $3.5 million if they trade him now. It is what it is. It's one of those situations where you bite the bullet. Look, the Jets, you never really hear Saleh say much in pressers. The fact last year, post one game, he basically was like, we have this guy for a year and a half more, and then he's out of here on a 4-year deal. Like, you just don't hear that type of stuff often. I wanted to just get back. We got distracted there. That was a fun little live bit. That will definitely be getting put on Twitter. When it comes to Moses, I want to just talk a little bit about what it means for this offensive line and kind of what it means for this team. As we sit here again, it's 5:30 on Thursday afternoon. We'll hop back on if something else changes. But right now, it kind of looks like it'd be slotted in as if the season starts today from left to right. It'd be Simpson, Tittman, ABT, Moses, which is a solid group. Definitely way better in the run game. All four of those guys, I feel like, are better run blockers than they are pass blockers, generally speaking, which is fine. This is not like reporting anything. This is just stuff I've heard for weeks. There definitely is smoke with Tyron Smith. Whether they get him or not is a different story. I've heard as much as they have the strongest offer on the table, or they have interest in Tyron Smith. And I think there's probably some mutual interest. I'm sure if the money's right, if the market goes as such. Jason Fitzgerald on the pod a week ago, I guess, said, basically, don't expect Smith to sign in the first 48 to 72 hours. Let's see the market. I'm sure he wants like what Trent Williams got, 2 years ago at similar ages, similar guys that had other, injuries and things like that. The Jets are not giving 5 years, $135 million, whatever that crazy contract was to Trent Williams, although it's probably worth it for the Niners. I still expect him to be a Chief, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here. But if, let's just say, hypothetically, if he signs with the Jets, him or Bakhtiar, it feels like one of those two guys will be the opening day of camp starting left tackle for the Jets.
I agree.
Yeah. The difference, though, I will say before, I want to see your opinion on this. If it's Tyron Smith, I don't think you have to take an offensive lineman at 10. If it's Bakhtiar, I still think no matter what, you have to take a guy at 10. That maybe that's now Fontenot, like maybe that changes it, or maybe it's somebody else. I just feel like Tyron Smith's security is like he'll play 13 games and you can have Carter, Warren, Max Mitchell, somebody play 4. Bakhtiar is like, you hope you get 6 games. And if he gets anything more, you're like thrilled. Is that kind of how you feel about with the draft and this free agency shuffle a little bit?
Yeah, look, if they're paying Tyron Smith, it's going to be bigger money, more involved money than what they would pay Bakhtiari, who I think will be paid a little more like a flyer. So, with Smith, like, despite some of the risk, you're going to assume he's going to be your starting left tackle for the next 2 years. That's probably going to impact how you handle the draft. And it gives you more flexibility because you can say, you know what, like, we got Smith, we got Moses at tackle, we got ABT and Simpson at guard, we got Tittman at center, Max Mitchell and Carter Warren and Wes Schweitzer are our top 3 backups. Like, great, fine. We'll see how the board breaks, but, now can we take Brian Thomas? Can we take Ndunze? Can we take Bowers? Like, they can look at more options and be more flexible if they do that. With Bakhtiari, still probably slightly more likely to happen. Probably wouldn't sign until after the draft. You just feel like there's a little more risk there. And that investment is probably more like your quota, like you're going to be the day one starter, but we're also planning that we're probably going to have someone else start some games. So I think Tyron Smith has them looking more playmaker in round one, whereas I don't think Bakhtiari. I also think, like, with Bakhtiari, like, if they don't sign Tyron Smith, I don't think they move on Bakhtiari until after the draft. I think they wait and see how the dust settles draft weekend, and then they would make a move for him.
Yeah, Man, it's just funny. Like, I nothing funnier to me when I just watch people like assume Zach Wilson that where Alan Lazard has any value other than like attaching a pick to them and hoping someone just takes on those deals for a 2025 seventh. I agree with you. The one fun scenario before we kind of wrap here and we'll transition over to the Badlands pod, talk a little defense and some of the holes there. The one fun scenario is they signed Tyron. You can still sign Bakhtiari because let's be real honest, like you're hoping you get 17 combined out of those two and you'd have an all-pro left tackle. Which is, you know, maybe like that could, as crazy as that sounds, that could be a real thing where Bakhtiari is like, I want to just be here. I want to play another year. I want to be around Aaron for the year. He's my best friend, X, Y, and Z. Whatever it is. Like, again, it might be a crazy thought. I'm just saying, like, it's not as crazy as I guess it sounds. Then it gets into the conversation where it's like, are we trading up for a receiver? And I know this sounds crazy, and I know it's probably not going to happen. But, like, Atlanta could easily trade back and still take an edge rusher at 10. They'll still have the first edge rusher off the board, likely. I don't know. Do you jump Chicago and you get one of Rome or neighbors that whatever guy falls? And then you're like Garrett Wilson, Rome, Brees, Conk, Corey Davis. Like, okay, now we're in like a pretty damn good group that's all relatively young outside of probably Corey and Conk. And Conk's going to be probably get extended at some point. Like, I don't know. I just, to me, getting one of these left tackles, ideally Tyron Smith. I know he's 33. I understand he was a second team all pro player last year. And his injuries are like 3-4 games a year at most. Plus, it would increase the value of a Simpson because I feel like then you'd trust probably Simpson more next to a Tyron Smith. It probably, again, it's probably Bakhtiari. I'm just saying if you can try and away with Smith, you open up everything at 10, trading back, trading up, staying at 10. Maybe you still take a tackle all along. It'd be nice to go on a draft night and go, I honestly have no idea what they're going to do here. It's kind of fun. We had that in 2022 where we were like, what happens at 4? It feels like last year we were like, oh, just like they're taking a tackle. And, you know, Rich Cimini is the only person that said before. Credit to Rich on my pod that morning was like, they're taking an edge rusher. And I was like, Rich, we're going to have to fight, buddy. Like, we're not doing that. So obviously appreciate you for listening. This will be the first half. Again, the next half will be on Badlands. Me and Joe are going to hop on there, talk a little defense and anything else that unfolds in the next 10 minutes. Which I'm sure won't because of the fact that we just said that might happen. Pretty sure everybody for listening. No, I will be back Saturday on TJ Talks, and we'll talk soon.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.